right, welcome everyone. We're back in the studio again. A little short this time. We were originally going to have everybody back in the studio, but Wayne had some things going on at home, and Pat ended up, poor guy, he got sick at work and went home. So finally, I got Mike back in the studio, and we got a special guest on the line. We got everyone's favorite Canadian, Andre Russo, on the line with us. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
I'm kind of excited to get you on the phone and talk to you.
Well, that's something I've been wanting to do for a while. We've had a few nice chats, so this is nice ways to contribute.
Yeah, so is it snowing yet all the way up there in Ottawa?
Actually, no. Today it was raining, but it was like 17 degrees Celsius when I came home, so it's warming up. We should have a good weekend because this coming weekend is Thanksgiving.
Oh, awesome. So do you get any extra days off for that up there?
I do, so we're going to have 4 days of flying.
Oh, man, I'm jealous already. So, well, hey, I keep tabs on you, and as you mentioned earlier, we talk quite a bit, and I'm kind of seeing that you're kind of coming over to the dark side with us, and you used to be pretty much a pure scratch builder, and which not saying you still aren't, but I've been noticing you're getting a lot more ARFs or some foamies in your hangar there.
I know. September was a big month. there was the UMix Radian. And then that beautiful Sukhoi showed up, and then shortly after that, the Sky Mule. So all of a sudden, my fleet grew substantially. So that the hangar is a little crowded now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. So you, what do you think's been the big turnaround on that, or why have you kind of migrated over to the our pre-built airplanes?
It was my birthday.
Oh, I see.
Now, well, we had talked a lot about the Sukhoi, and yeah, like for me flying, it's always been about, and especially when I started, I mean, I've been backtracking a bit. I've been flying now electric for a year now, and before that, it had been like a 15-year hiatus, and I just got in, and the whole goal was, yeah, scratch build, keep it down, keep the cost down. So these last three were, and I'm not ashamed to say it, they were all gifts. So I'm laughing, going, wow, you know. So the UMX Radian was something from my wife, the same thing with the Sky Mule. And then the other one, my parents and her parents chipped in and said, yeah, what do you want? So I'm itching to get this green plane that the guys keep talking about. So, you know.
Have you flown the Sukhoi yet?
Oh, I've flown. I had it out Friday night. I got home from work. We had supper, and I said, okay, before the sun goes down, I want to go out. And I burned off four battery packs. Oh, I love flying that thing.
Was it hard to set up? Because I was debating buying it myself, and I didn't get to talk with when we were reviewing it, really, on the setup of it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if there's much to setting it up or...
Well, for you, Mike, you got a Spectrum radio, so it's pretty much, you know, in the manual has exactly the specs, you know, what's reverse, what isn't. But, I literally had that plane set up in less than 3 minutes, and okay, it was ready to go. Now, I know Andre had a little bit more to it.
What's he using for
a
transmitter?
He's got a Turnigy 9.
Okay, 9X. I should have asked you directly.
I have a 9X, and I run that. I run the orange module. So that took me a bit of time to get the switches to sort out, and the real fun part was I couldn't figure out what mode I was in initially, and I did a maiden flight. I got it on the 25th, and I did a maiden flight like the Friday afterwards, or like the 26th, mm-hmm, next day kind of thing. And I'm flying around, and I know for a fact I was stuck in 3D mode on my first maiden. I couldn't get it out of the switches, so I had to slow down because it was oscillating away. And I got it in and landed, got two flights, and said, okay, fine, you know, test it. And I spent like 2 or 3 hours afterwards going through the 9X and all the programming sequencing to figure out the switches, and I was able to finally go, okay, I know I'm in stability mode because everything goes nuts when I tip the nose over, and then, oh, there's precision, and I can see, oh, I've got a lot of movement in the elevator, and then, oh, I'm in the 3D where I've got a little less movement, or vice versa. Sorry, precision, you got less movement, the throws are smaller,
right,
and after that, I had it, and I was out Saturday flying it around, testing all the modes. And very much like you, Mike, I hate its stability. Oh, God. Like, I'm sitting there going, and it was terrifying to watch this thing go through the air and snap, and it would snap.
Right.
Snap.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's
and
what
then
it was doing for me.
I think the Sunday afterwards, the winds picked up. So I'm like, well, I'm going to fly this thing's agility. And I was having a riot because it was being bopped around, and you let go of the controls, and it would come in. And then I landed in Stagility. Oops.
Oh, no.
Oh, I took did a little
it, did
chunk
it,
off
I was going to say, it probably tweaked you right when you didn't want to on the landing, I'm assuming, but I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, it came in, and it caught the elevator, the little one of the end pieces on the elevator, and snapped and popped a little piece off. And that was my first experience in fixing the Z-Foam, and that took like, 10 seconds.
Right, cool. Right.
And it was... what I have noticed on that plane, and from a beginner or someone who's getting used to it, it is a completely different landing experience. I have my Park Zone T-28, the Trojan, and I'm pretty comfortable landing that, but the Sukhoi is, that landing gear is bouncy.
Yeah.
And, I land on a hard-packed gravel running track, and I noticed right away that if I came in and I had to get really used to coming in almost at half power.
Really?
And, oh, it's because I come in and if you kind of let it flare too much, it bounces around a lot. And
you didn't modify the wheels like we did you? You used the stock wheels, I assume?
I used the stock wheels.
Okay,
and
I know you struggled
with that.
Yeah,
the landing gear is just springy, and then I'd scrub the prop and I'd get the gravel into the motor and have to go and clean out the cone and all the stuff and the cowl. So it was really interesting to come to use to it. So Friday this week, no one was at the field when I had the chance, so I really got used to just bombing it in and coming in at a good speed and just setting it down with no hop, no bounce, and so I'm getting more comfortable with it.
That's
good.
Great. Good. That's great.
I was actually, now I don't know, Mike, if you agree with me, but I was actually really impressed because I kind of thought the same thing. Now, I had the older Park Zone Extra that was kind of similar to that, and that thing was a beast to try to get in and land. You had to land it hot, and again, it kind of bounced, but the Sukhoi compared to the older Park Zone Extra was night and day. The Sukhoi for me seemed to really slow down a lot more than I thought. I thought it landed great. What were you?
Well, I only landed once. One time I did it with high rates on, which was tricky for me. It dropped real quick.
Uh huh.
Because he had dialed in high rates, and I was on that. But I did land once in the low rates, and it seemed pretty smooth.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. But I think he had the modified wheels, which helped.
Right,
too.
Right,
we did
right.
discuss that.
Yeah.
Or the larger wheels.
Or larger
not
wheels.
Modified, but larger wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
I have put it down a couple times in the grass, but now, like I said, I've gotten used to just the approach and everything. And, yeah, you come in precision with your low rates, and it will do a line flyby. And then I started really experimenting. What's the slowest speed? And that's when you really see there's a very definite drop. When it says okay, I'm tip stalling, it's tip stalling. So
how much did you use what I call the oh crap button? How many times
I
used
love
it? Oh,
I was showing
isn't that
people,
awesome?
Watch this! And I got the thing inverting.
Oh
like,
my
what are
Lord.
You doing? It's watch this. Click, and it just snaps. There's one of the gentlemen who's got one at the club, and so we're flying around, and even he's nosed it in once now. He was too low, and he hit the oh crap button.
Yeah, you gotta
it
get
went
some
in
height.
And he picked it up, looked at it, said, hey, it's still gonna fly. And I have to give credit, that prop is a beast.
Yes.
I've scrubbed that thing the first couple of weekends. Like I said, I was having issues running, and when you come in and it does the bounce, well, you scrub the prop, and
right.
I'm like, eventually I'm going to order a replacement, but I'm like, wow, this thing has taken some heat from the gravel and everything, and it's fine.
Yeah, that was one of our biggest things that, the plane itself is really tough because we augered it into the ground quite a few times, but that prop
that's what you
never,
when you told me you augered it and that was the same prop, I
yeah,
cannot believe it.
It
I
never broke.
That
not
that was
one
the same
time.
Prop.
Yeah, so
unbelievable.
I don't know what the stock one probably costs, like $8-$9, but I would think it'd be well worth to buy.
If I understand correctly, you actually broke the nose and the prop still.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
We broke
that is impressive.
I completely broke the nose off of the whole airplane, like four inches back. I mean, just separate it, and that prop never broke.
Man, I've never seen a plane do that or had one that did that.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. So what have you, are you finding now that you're trying, more maneuvers and banging the sticks around and stuff
exactly.
like that?
Exactly. Like, and what I really like about this plane, if there was a plane, and this was my question that when you guys were doing the review that I posed, if I had to buy a plane that was going to be that new, and this is after a year of flying, this is the most expensive thing in my fleet now. And this plane fits, you know, I want to go fast. I want to learn 3D or anything about some of these safety features. And it's just a generally good, nice flyer. So it fits a bunch of categories. It fits in the back of the car nicely. It looks good. It takes the, you know, the 3S2200s. And yeah, now I'm learning 3D. And there's a couple guys, another gentleman who flies, like he's got like this big, beautiful 3D plane, and he was out on the weekend, and I was just watching his maneuvers, and I've even, you know, I was hovering the thing up high, but mm-hmm. I was like, okay, she's nose up, and I'm learning how to control the throttle, and it's, so it's another aspect of flying that really interests me. I think I'm more of a aerobatic fan versus mm-hmm. 3D, but mm-hmm. the fact that I can do it, because, you know, I flip it into the higher rates, and I slow it down, and I'm getting used to it slowly, and yeah.
Good. So you think our review was pretty close?
Oh, you guys swayed it. I mean, Wayne's compliment there, and I sent him a quick little message afterwards. You know, and this, yeah, you hit it on the, you know, you hit it on the mark when you said, yeah, for the price and the function of the plane. So, I was very excited to put the order in. And I don't know if you saw any of the photos there of me trying to shove the damn thing in my car.
That was hilarious.
It's very versatile, like you pointed out. I must buy one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm putting it off, but now even talking to you and how you set it up and what you did with it, it's enticed me even more to go get one. So I'll have to rent it by the wife.
Yeah. Oh, out of the box, it's a phenomenal plane. And my setup stemmed from me using the 9X and the module, but it worked. And all we did was he changed, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah, you went through some struggles there.
And my dad and I were putting the XG60 connectors on because that's what I fly with. So.
Awesome. Well, that's, you know, I'm glad you like it. We, you know, try to get through the reviews out there and everything. But, okay, we're going to move on here a little bit, and I'm glad you like the Sukhoi. Now, the thing we're calling you about is, I know quite a while ago we talked about the Durafly Sky Mule, and we were supposed to get a couple in here at flight tests, and for one reason or the other, they haven't got them in yet, or I don't know what's going on. But somebody that we know and we have on the line got one. Now, was this another birthday present?
Yeah, what enticed you on this purchase, I must know.
My beautiful wife liked it.
Okay.
Yeah, we were...
That's surprising because it doesn't look like something maybe I would want to fly, but I want to hear what your take is on this.
Well, here's my thing. I'll give you just my little opinion on it, and Andre, I'm sure, will elaborate more, but... especially around here in the wintertime, I'm sure up in Ottawa it's kind of the same way. Wintertime around here, it's nasty, it's cold, it's usually windy. And Wayne and I have come to find out, you know, out of a lot of the planes that we have, the FlyZone Beaver is actually just kind of like a big, heavy kind of tank of an airplane. I mean, even though it's an RC model, it's almost like the real, you know, scale Beaver. Mm-hmm. And the thing just flies so good when the weather's nasty, whether it be windy or snowing or whatever, and it just takes the elements really well. So we fly that thing a lot in the wintertime. So after looking at that, you know, the Sky Mule, and the thing, again, looks like a giant big tank, you know, mm-hmm. Does it come with skis, Andre, or?
It does.
Oh, okay.
And to put it in perspective, it's essentially an otter, twin otter.
Right. Little modified, and they, I think, kind of put their own twist on it. But just looking at the plane, it just looks like this big, giant tank that will handle, you know, lots of elements. And Wayne and I were talking about getting one and trying it, you know, for the wintertime. So now that you have one and got it together and everything, we wanted to get your little mini review on this, you know, what you thought, getting it in the box. Now, the interesting thing, though, is you actually bought the kit, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the rationale there was the shipping cost and the ready to fly one or almost ready to fly one. I was looking at about $100 more for the product. The kit's like $106 US.
Uh-huh.
And then whatever shipping was. And my very first scratch build was a big old YC-14 cargo plane.
Oh, wow.
And I have all the motors and ESCs and everything here ready to go. Mm-hmm. So we're flipping through, and I had an order that Hobby King had lost. So they refunded me. So I'm sitting there, and I said to my wife, you know, well, what do you like? I'm going to buy another plane. And she that one lit up right away for her. Like, she says, you can't even change the color. I love it the way it looks.
Oh, that's funny.
And so, yeah, that's I've got a soft spot for twins and big twins. And, and you know, the Sky Mule is a big plane, 60-inch wing, and the twin props and everything. And it just hit all the marks. Like you said, it can do, and it's going to be my big FPV rig. I'm going to have some fun with it.
Yeah, I could see using FPV. I'm looking at it now. It definitely can handle FPV.
And the only thing it doesn't do, and my son is a little upset about it, is it won't drop the bomb like the cargo plane that we'd scratch build together. So I might have to keep the scratch plane, the cargo plane kicking around for a while. But it's got skis, and I'm thinking it's going to see a lot of winter usage with me. I'll see how it goes as far as putting the wings on.
Uh-huh.
So I do have to take them off for the fit in the car.
Right.
But they're four little plastic screws.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as my hands don't freeze up too badly doing that, and then with the skis, we put her onto the field, put her in the parking lot, throw my hands inside the receiver, you know, the transmitter mitt.
Exactly.
And go flying.
Exactly. Now, I thought it had some kind of, not really a bomb bay, but doesn't it have a door in the back that actually opens or something on it, though?
It's got a big cargo hatch on the side of it, so uh-huh. you can fit in all your stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially for the FPV gear. And I've got a little cheap flight controller. I'm going to be testing on that with return to home and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's got lots of access. There's another little hatch in the belly too, so you can access your rear two servos. And there's all kinds of features on this thing. There's a spot for your FPV camera. There's a spot for your FPV camera if you want to point it down through the belly. There's a spot for the transmitter. It's a well thought out plane, and it, like, with the wings off, it fits in the back trunk of my car with no issues. So I'm gonna go to this Home Depot or one of those the stores eventually and pick up some of that hot water tank foil like you wrap your radiant wings with.
Uh huh.
And just so I can protect the wings and so they don't get damaged.
Right. All right, so now you get the big package in the mail and everything, get it open up. Give us, you know, your initial thoughts on it, the quality, the fit, and everything, and go from there.
Well, I'm going to do, first off, I'll say is plus points for Hobby King for actually taking the time to repackage it for shipping. It had the standard big foam package underneath that everything was packed into. They actually put in extra air bubbles, and then there was a layer of foam, another layer of cardboard, and then they took the outside box, which had all, you know, the Sky Mule thing. They flipped that inside out, so it was brown, taped it all back, and then taped it. And it went through the post just fine. Well, I'm looking at my nose. It shipped in, like, you know, the 13th and arrived on the 29th, and there were no issues. There was no, that was through regular post or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
there were no scratches. There was no dents on the box. I know when we got the Bixlers back in the spring or whatever, or late winter, there were one of the boxes, or the box had taken a hit, and I was a little concerned, but there was no damage again. So highly impressive how well it was packed. And yeah, it's a lot of plane. I'm pulling piece after piece after piece, and there's a big fuselage, and nothing is glued together either when you get it. And you only get one tube of glue, and we'll discuss that afterwards, because I tried some different techniques to glue the body together and scared myself pretty good. The fuselage, sorry. But packaging-wise, it was great. There were no issues, and it's just like you're pulling the wing piece. Here's the center. Here's your left wing, right wing, your tail. And the instruction book, I will say, covers the ready to fly one more so than the kit.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the build process is pretty elementary. And if you watch some of the other forums, there's tons and tons of pictures.
Did you permanently fix the wings? I did read it's a two-piece wing set. Is that true on this?
It's actually a three-piece wing set. So you have a center section, and that is bolted on to the fuselage.
Okay.
So that doesn't come off, but it's, you know, if you need to service anything, you can just two screws and the whole thing comes off.
Okay.
Right? So it's really functional as far as, you know, say you want to store it or you want to take it on a trip. You can strip this thing down pretty nicely.
Good. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I just was reading and I wanted to know more about that feature.
No. It's got the canopy, and then it's got the FPV canopy, and the nose comes off. If you want to stick a camera out the nose, mm-hmm. So it was well thought of, and I'm going to load this thing up with my FPV gear and everything eventually and have some fun with it.
Cool.
So what looking at it, Mike, now that, you know, first you said it really wasn't something maybe you were really looking, what do you think of it now that you've kind of looked at it and everything? It would be something you would fly?
Oh, I'll fly anything. I get it in my hands, but
it flies. I mean, I took this thing up on Sunday because it was the first day we had last week there where we had some decent weather, and I was so nervous. I was telling Wayne I had the shakes, and I forgot to roll my video camera and everything. But it jumped into the sky, and it was just beautiful. And we had some pretty high winds, and it took the winds really nicely. And then it was just, I did like a 5-minute flight, and I had a big 3S4000 in there, and I had tons of time left on the counter. So that was really nice. And like my approach, I came in, I said I, you know, it was a crosswind thing, so I came in from a different route that I normally fly into, and it was just calm and smooth. And she touched down in the grass and taxied out of the grass field with the stuff, pardon me, with the stock landing gear really nicely. So I'm like, well, this is nice.
The only thing I can say is I'd go from someone else's opinion because I've never flown a twin, but I do know that Chad said he absolutely loved it for FPV, that
twin star.
And yep. So I got to take his comments to heart here too with FPV.
Uh-huh.
I've never flown one. I'd like to try though. Let's see. Is it differential for turning?
No, not for this.
So it does have ailerons and stuff. Okay. Yep.
Now, Andre, did you set it up with counter rotating motors?
Yes, I did. Yeah. So they rotate inwards. So right. I've got the props I'm using right now are 10x4x5s. They're mm-hmm. actually off one of my my tricopter project. Well, I've got 10x6s, and I got a set of triple 9x5x3 blade ones. The stock blades didn't actually fit on my motor set or the Calat adapters. Mm-hmm. So I sold them off to the other guy at the park because he broke one on a crash, and you know. I just figured I've got so many props here with all my other projects that I'm not short. And she took off with those, with the single props or the standard size props with no issues. And I'll try the other ones and just see how they go. But I suspect that the 10x4s will do fine, especially with the motors I'm using too. Mm-hmm. So it'll be right on the mark.
Right. How long did it take you to get it together?
I think it was just a couple hours.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
What took longest was just letting everything dry. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta really make sure the motor pods go in. And I had to customize the motor mounts for your motors. They use the stock ones are like a DT750 style, the Bell style motor ones, so they sit back further.
Oh yeah, right.
Mine are, I'm using the Eternergy 2830s, which are much smaller motors. So I actually just put some wood in there and set it all up. They might sit a little far forward, but they're pretty nice.
Uh huh.
And tons of power. And this is a setup I use in my big cargo plane, which like weighs in without batteries at like 1800 grams.
Huh. That's so awesome.
So I was quite confident the power was there. And
what battery did you use? I'm sorry.
Yeah, 4000 he said he was using. Yeah.
3S 4000.
Yes. So you're going to get plenty. What do you think you get out of a 4000 flying time wise?
Well, after 5 minutes, I had like 3.95 per cell. So still tons of flight time left in that thing.
Right.
So I'd say a good 8 minutes or more.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure if I loaded it up differently or just slowed it down, and this was really windy in my first flight with it, so I'm sure I was a little heavy on the stick, so I'm sure you could milk it out a little bit longer.
Right. All right, let's, how about explain a little bit of the flight characteristics then of it, and you know, how it took off, how it tracked, and the landing, how it slowed down, stuff like that.
It jumped in the sky. My experience, and my cargo plane, you have to hand toss. I could never get the landing gear to work out on that plane. So this was really a treat that I didn't have to actually, hand toss it or actually ask someone to do it. So the first time we took off, that we had a big crosswind. So I'm on the, in a track field, the oval side. Well, I'm on the short end of it, and it just jumped in the air within feet, you know. So it's very much a short takeoff and landing kind of feeling to it. And then it flew in the winds, and I could get there, and I could just hold it. And we had some really gusty winds, so I just parked it at one point just to look at it. And like I said, the landing was just beautiful. I was coming over. There's a creek. And in one of my tricopter crash videos, you see the creek. And I'm very leery of flying over this, especially on the maiden. And, I'm, you know, like I said, my hands are shaking as I'm coming in. Mm-hmm. And it just tracked so cleanly, even with a strong headwind. And touchdown, you know, nice little flared 3-point landing. It was beautiful. So I was very happy. So I'm like, well, let's park it. It's good.
That's funny. You know, I'm kind of intrigued about you shaking over this big cargo plane. Was it just combination of it being the maiden and kind of windy and everything like that? Or
my new baby.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. It's the new boy.
Was it that bad with the Sukhoi too?
No, the Sukhoi, I was surprisingly relaxed.
That's
actually,
funny.
The Sukhoi, I was just busy trying to swap off the mosquitoes. But I think this one is just because it's like it was a little bit more of a build. The Sukhoi, you're just snapping parts in,
and there's no safe features.
And this one was a little bit. There's a little bit more unknown, right?
Yeah.
But no, it landed, and I did all my checks, and everything is where it's supposed to be. Everything was nice and clean, and no servos popping out or nothing like that. So.
Huh. That's awesome.
The Sukhoi definitely has a security blanket built into it.
Yeah, but you know
not
what?
Not for landing.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Right,
but,
right. But I was even a little bit nervous with the Sukhoi that first flight.
Oh, I know.
Flight.
When you, I still can't believe you call me or me even. You're like, I'm not a big fan.
No,
and then
yeah.
You got things set up
right,
and different things.
Right,
like,
so I just thought that was interesting, you know. You get the shakes on the big cargo plane, you know.
That should float. You
right,
know,
right, right.
It had a lot of left, big wingspan
no,
and stuff.
I completely agree. I mean, I've done crazier things in my life. I'm all fluttered over an airplane, but it's, you know, it's just
That keeps the adrenaline going for the hobby, though.
Right, right.
Well, that was one comment from a friend. She says, it just means you care about it. And I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Right.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, while we'll talk about why we got Andre on the line. I got, you know, we usually go through our email crash stories, which we'll get to here later. But I had a couple incidents where I was shaking pretty bad. And one of them was just a routine. Do you remember Brian, who's learning to fly, bought the Delta Ray. He's been flying with us a couple times out there. So it was after a baseball practice, and he wanted me to fly, and I had the Sport Cub and everything, and I threw the Radiant in the car, and he wanted to see that fly a little bit. And it didn't even seem like one of those days we were going to have any thermals. It was kind of chilly out. Anyway, I got that thing up, and it caught a boomer. And, I mean, this thing took off so fast and got up so high and almost out of sight that I was getting nervous. And it got to the point, Mike, and I, you know, I've seen you way up there, and even Andre, you've probably been there with the Ultra Micro Radiant that – you can see it, but you're really not sure what direction you're going or if you're upside down,
you
know. You
lose perspective quick.
And
I've
the thing kept and the thing kept going and going, you know. So obviously the power was off, you know, elevator back, full right turn. I'm trying to get this thing down.
Respond even.
But you have really no idea what's, you know, is the wings going to actually just come off of it? What, you know, what's going
when
on?
You're fighting variables like that too, and you're not seeing the response
exactly
of the control that you would expect.
Exactly. So it was, I'd say probably a good 5 minutes. I was pretty nerve wracking. You know, it was like, hey, I'm not sure this thing's coming down. Finally, you know, you could see the perspective of the airplane, see what it was doing. I felt a little bit better.
I still don't forget that time with the Viggen. You do not realize how you saved me with the orientation on that day out at Flight Fest. I'm telling you what, you saved that plane that time.
Oh, that's funny.
You're like, it's coming back towards you. I'm like, I so bad wanted to go opposite of the direction you told me, and thankfully I did not.
And
I finally saw the perspective of it actually coming towards me.
And it's like, a scary feeling, you know, that your sweats start coming, you know.
Man.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Oh.
So then I think it was might have been a week later. It was kind of my fault maybe, I guess. I don't know. But it was a beautiful day but super windy. I mean, it was gusting to like, I think 30 miles an hour. It was like 15 gusting to 30. And I decided to take the mystique out.
I wouldn't take anything out in that condition. I'll tell you that right now.
And I knew once the mystique got up, though, it would be okay. Mm-hmm. And so I got it up. It was a little rough getting it up in the air, but I got it up and started cruising around a little bit. And it was kind of fighting the wind up there. And I think it was more or less really wasn't a thermal, but it was just riding off the air currents. And I got it up pretty high, and it was starting to spec out a little bit, and I wanted to get it down again. You know, it was a little hard to see, and I kind of got it into a little bit of a dive, and I realized it, which was no big deal. Well, for the and I've read reports on this on RC groups, and I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, they were overflying the airplane or whatever. But anyway, I wasn't going that fast, and I wasn't in like a vertical dive. It was probably maybe 30 degrees into the wings started fluttering, and I mean, they literally fluttered to where I thought. for sure this thing was just going to completely, you could hear it. It was so loud, you know.
Envelope up on
you. Oh, and, you know, obviously you don't want to just pull the stick back. So I'm trying to ease out of it, ease out of it. And finally it did. It pulled out of it. And I got it on the ground and I looked at it. I don't see any physical damage, any structural damage. I don't think anything's wrong with it, but I was really shocked at that. I really didn't think that airplane would
hold
do
up
that.
To that.
Yeah, and to go into a flutter and you know, really wasn't going that. So now I'm a little nervous to taking that thing back out and flying it.
You're thinking might be some structural hidden
inside.
That you
yeah,
now.
Exactly. Wow. So that was my two incidents here, probably in the last month. How about you, Andre? Have you had any crashes or anything happen to you here lately?
Well, I mean, the tricopter, which kept flying out of the sky there, I put that one into the creek after I lost a motor.
Uh-huh.
That was a good one.
Oh, actually, wait. You got to tell explain the Bixler story about doing the FPV and losing the signal.
Oh, that has precipitated a whole lot of changes in the philosophy about FPV. So we had the Bixler out, and the first flight, I had always been experiencing issues when we thought it was, you know, UBAC and stuff, or where the motor would cut out. And it was a range issue, and the 2.4 being jumped on by the 5.8 transmitter and so on and so on and so on. So I'm like, okay. I'm doing a video and you can hear me say, oh, there's the motor. We can hear it. Well, I go and I throw it up on a second flight. And this time I'm using my monitor, not my goggles. And the wind starts pushing around, and all of a sudden I'm really out of range, and I'm my hands in the air trying to get the single back up, and I'm watching the video, and there was a classic, you know, FPV no-no, going from visual line of sight to the monitor. So I stuck with the monitor, and I had visual, but I didn't have command control, and it was really scary because at one point I get control and I hit the power and the power comes up too fast and rolls the plane over, and I'm looking at a bus and she's diving. She's, you know, the Bixler is diving into a bus, and I'm like, oh, I managed to turn.
Gosh.
It picks up. It goes over the bus. It goes towards the parking lot where we are, and I get altitude control and I go over the park and I land it, and I said, that's enough. I'm done. And I parked the FPV stuff and everything. And I went out, I think I flew my T-28 afterwards, and I got into the sun and I spazzed. I was like, oh, I can't see what I'm doing. Oh my God. And recover. And it was just, I was a basket case. And my dad's like, what's your problem? You know,
today?
Go fly again, son. You know, like, oh yeah, here's the, you know, I've been teaching him to fly, and all of a sudden he's coaching me.
When you have a day like that, just Chad's taught me just, okay, put it down.
Yeah,
for
right.
That day. It's just nothing
down,
good
stop.
Is going to happen.
Exactly.
So to be honest, and this is, you'll like this story, Chris, because after I got back from Flight Fest, I talked to my dad about, you know, we can soar with the Bixler. And he's like, what do you mean soar? So I said, get up high, cut your motor and start gliding. And, you know, we go from like 8 minute flights to 16 to 20 minute flights kind of thing. So I've stripped out my Bixler because I was at the stage with it where I was like, if I continue FPV, I got to cut into this plane so I can start putting stuff and balancing it better.
Mm-hmm.
I've completely gone back to stock, and, you know, I'm standing there beside my dad, and he and I, we're chatting away, and we're just soaring them through the sky. We put some black tape on the edges, just like you do with the Bixler. The Radiant, and we get up there and we just hover around and have a great old time.
Yeah, I've heard numerous reports people out cruising around soaring and thermaling with the Bixler. So yeah, it's a pretty good airplane.
And, you know, I've got my little Radiant, which is great to take. I've sat in a park with him on my birthday, you know, and he's flying his Spitfire around the park, and I've got my Radiant way up there and just cruising around, actually flying with a bunch of seagulls, which, you know, which was fun. But no, to be able to sit there, and so I said, you know what? The Bixler stays stock, and it's exactly that. It's a father son, you know, in kind of inverted, because I'm trying to get my own son involved in flying, and I managed to hook my own dad. So, you know, so it's so that plane is staying the way that it is because it's just special to me in that sense.
Right.
Well, that's what I soared with it with David Vindestol. I had the Sky Surfer, which is
right.
Same frame as the Bixler,
yep.
And we flew that. We were real high over at Chad's.
Uh-huh.
We had a blast.
I
mean, that was a great time.
It is
a
good
airplane
for that.
And it held, I mean, like you said, it was about, felt like 20 minutes. Maybe it was closer to 15 minutes probably that we were doing that on that day. But,
right.
And we had it so high, it looked like a UMX radio. I mean, it was pretty cool.
You know, and speaking of David, what you were talking about, the losing the signal and the FPV and everything, and that brings me back to a point where, and I don't know, if, probably because he's just been doing it so long, but so many times, wherever we're at, and a lot of times it was at Chad, I have seen David, and normally he's just sitting on the ground, Indian style, head down, flying FPV, mm-hmm. that guy has lost signal and just sat there, remained calm, and usually he'll, you know, he'd be out cranking around and go, oh, lost signal, and, you know, in his voice, and you're freaking out, and you're trying to look, and he's just this calm, just sitting there, and I mean, it could be like 20 seconds later, oops, I got signal back, just like it's nothing, and he would do that all the time, and so I remember here lately, the first few times where I was just by myself doing FPV with a quadcopter, and I lost, you know, signal just for a split, and I would just wigging out,
yeah,
you know,
goggles off.
You're looking around, and that's just tough.
Hard to commit.
Yeah, it is.
When you're blacked out there,
yeah.
I mean, what do you do?
Right, exactly.
You're committed.
Oh, that's funny.
That's it. Twice now with the tricopter, I've, you know, taken off and I'm transitioning from line of sight to and like from the last one, flip my goggles on. And literally, my world is spinning the moment I put the goggles on. I'm like, what's going on? And like, oh, your tricopter's going down. Oh, splash.
Yeah.
Who was it? We saw where they made the goggles where you could see both line of sight and.
Oh, that's SkyZone. SkyZone makes a pair.
Cool,
yeah, yeah. You hit the button. It's got the little camera in the front.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
That is a really good idea.
That's a sweet feature.
Yeah,
it would be neat.
Yeah, and plus they got diversity built right into them. You can put two antennas on there. So
that's what you could do both.
Yeah,
almost.
Exactly. You can put like a long range. You know, like a, I don't know what they call them. Like a hex helicoil antenna on one, and your normal, you know, cloverleaf, and it, you know, you can bounce it back and forth. That's a good set of goggles.
Yes, yes.
It is. I wish Wayne could have made it in tonight. He's got a bunch of stories too. That, but we've been doing some more, trying to do some more towing with the KA-8 and the Carbon Cub, and I don't know what's going on. They haven't been totally successful. And one of the problems, that Carbon Cub's got so much power. And we get that KA-8 up with it and get it behind it. And, I mean, it just seems like if there's one little thing goes wrong, that Carbon Cub just, I mean, it just drags it. I don't care if it's upside down, sideways, or whatever. And poor Wayne, he's over there trying to hit the release to try to get this thing to let go. And one time, it was pretty windy. We got kind of into a crosswind, and the KA-8 rolled up. And this Carbon Cub just drug it. And the tow line came back across the wing and actually cut through the wing of the KA-8 and started to cut through it before he got it released.
Oh,
I mean, everything was okay. And that Carbon Cub never even blinked an eye.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It didn't even know that thing was dragging behind it.
That's hilarious.
So I've been getting some emails and Twitter pictures and everything that a lot of these guys have been towing that K8 with the little Park Zone Sport Cub that you flew, Mike.
Okay.
And I can't imagine that they're doing that stock, though, but I put the bigger prop and changed the ESC on it, so we might have to hook
that
thing up.
Make
that a tow. Yeah, yeah, and it's a little bit smaller, more scaled towards the K8
yes.
and see if that works out a little better, so I may try that, too. See if that
something
works.
I messed with, and it's a little bit off the flight aspect, but still RC, was I got to drive a remote control car.
Oh, Mike, you're going to get hooked to those things.
And I'll tell you, it was very natural having the wheel and the throttle trigger.
Yep.
I don't know why, but I think he said it would go to like 30, 40 mile an hour.
Yep.
And I was a little hesitant, but I really got on the throttle, and I was doing better than I thought coming back.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's just from all my flying.
Sure.
Now.
Yep.
It was real.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't have any problems where I know when I flew or drove remote, like, I had little dinky remote control cars
right.
before, nothing this scale or whatever. Or not scale, but fast,
yeah.
I should say. And I'd get messed up in orientation, hit walls and
uh-huh.
everything else. Well, this one I didn't.
Just
this guy, he was burning out doing donuts by the cars. And I was like, wow. I mean, I wasn't going that crazy, but
yeah.
I was going faster than I thought my abilities would let me. And I
yeah.
didn't wreck it or anything.
Oh,
but
you're going to get hooked.
It was fun.
Oh, they're
it.
Addicting. I've been there. I still got a couple of them
in the garage.
I didn't
think I would like it that much. And it was pretty nice.
Yep.
Not to get completely
right.
off flight here. But,
yeah.
but I did enjoy that. I could see me.
Oh, yeah, you get one of them four-wheel drive trucks, and they're all waterproof, and you take it out in the yard, and you just bash the daylights.
Oh, that
it's
has
fun.
To be fun. That
it
has to be fun.
It is fun. Oh, that's funny. Well, all right, Andre, I appreciate all the information. So so you would recommend the Sky Mule then? That seems to be...
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's an easy build. You just, you know, put your servos in, glue it together, let it set up. And yeah, if you run, if you're running off the stock, there's stock recommendations of the motor. You don't have to do anything I did, but I posted some stuff on the flight test forum about my build, so you can see what I was talking about with the motors and that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, literally, I glued it together, put some, you know, painter's tape just to lock it in place and let it set up and let mm-hmm. it glue overnight. Because what did I use? I used Goop. And it was a little aggressive, but now it's all dried up and solid. So I was a little concerned because the foam felt a little soft in uh-huh. some spots. So it's just too much concentration.
Right, right.
Now I'm going to ask a question. Go. What is your favorite, the Sequoia? I know they have their different features and different aspects and their different planes. But what would you, if you had to just buy one, the Sequoia or the... Or the Sky Mule, which one would you buy?
That's tough.
I'm just curious.
The Sukhoi.
They're both great. Okay. Just because they're more versatile, I think.
It's got a lot of functionality to it. I could slap skis on the darn thing for the winter if I had to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the one I want to buy, and it's still, like $249 price point. And I'm like, man, I don't know, but it sounds like it's well worth it.
Oh, my.
And I did fly it. I mean, that sells me alone. I'm not going to lie, but I just.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's still a lot of money.
I've come to the opinion that I like having, you know, a plane for all occasions. I mean, I still got my scratch wheels. I have an FT Racer that I built last year, and it's starting to show its age. But if it's in the trunk of the car, and when the winds are really gusty, that plane will handle it. Actually, the ironic thing with that plane now is it actually feels too slow for me. But that's where I started throwing around and doing aerobatics.
Yeah.
And the next one was that used T-28, my scrappy T-28 with broken up wings and everything.
Yep.
You saw that thing at flight test. I could barely land it there. But, you know, I love that plane to death because mm-hmm. it's just that was the first foamy, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And it just goes. And it's just a hoot to fly. But now it's, you know, things are getting a little serious. But, no, I'm enjoying the state of the hangar now. So it's nice to say, okay, I got an hour or two on Saturday or Sunday to go flying. What do I want to take? Well, actually, now it's like, what will fit in the car?
Right. And yeah, it's funny you mentioned the T-28 because, you know, that's the airplane that kind of got me back into flying. You know, I got into it for a while and just kind of got discouraged and got out of it. And when they brought out the T-28, I thought, man, that looks cool. And obviously, it's not my first one. I've been through two or three of them, you know, because I augered them in the ground. But the thing's so beat up, and well, you've seen it, Andre. I had it there, and we were flying together. But I just don't think I can get rid of that airplane. I mean, I think it's even might be discontinued now through Horizon. But I just something about that plane. I still love it, and I'll probably always have it and always fly it, no matter what. And hopefully, still get parts for it here in the next year or two. Or, you know, I don't know what it is. Just a great airplane.
Hmm. Well, that's it. It's even when they're beat up, the thing still steers straight, and it is that second plane. You know, when someone advances from the trainer, and then they want a low wing plane that's still forgiving. The T-28 is the one to go to.
Yeah,
I mean, just it has such nice manners.
Yes,
it teaches you to land and take off with landing gear too, and a lot of people, you know, like I didn't have a plane. That was my first plane with landing gear.
Right. And in my opinion too is, you know, you're learning to take off and land. The tricycle gear is way better than the tail draggers, for sure, I think. You know,
unless you scrub the tail all the time like I do.
Yeah, I do that too. I got a little hot motor on my T-28, so I can just, you know.
See, I never flew one with a tricycle landing gear.
Oh,
so
we gotta
try that sometime. Right.
And Mike, man.
I know. Yeah, we get you on that T-28, you would really enjoy that thing. And the funny thing is, I've flown a lot of T-28s, and it must be just that general airframe that flies good, because whether it be the Park Zone, I've flown the Durafly, big FMS. Actually, I've flown both of the FMS, and Wayne's got the big, 1700 or 14, I forget. But anyway, every one that I have flown, they're just unbelievable.
Really?
They fly great. Huh. So it must be just the design. Yeah.
Even the little UMX one.
Yeah, even the UMX. Yeah, you're right.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yep.
I got a tweet from my buddy, and he's like, after, you know, he's like, hey, now we've got two Sky Mules, we should do a formation flight. And I said, forget the Sky Mules. I mean, we must have half a dozen T-28s. Let's do something with those. I mean, that would be awesome to see. But because everybody at the airfield, they've got one. Like, mine came from a guy who it had crashed right beside me. He says, oh, this thing was done. It's the one I learned with. And he says, I got a Park Zone, and I got another Durfly. And it's just time to retire. I made him an offer, and that's how I got mine. But there are so many, and you know, the Air Force ones, and
right,
and then the Navy ones. So I'm like, we got to get up there with some video cameras and have some fun, because we could like have a half a dozen things.
Sure,
these guys going.
And one of my favorite videos, and it's been out probably, I think it's been about 2 years ago, and I can't remember exactly where it is. If you go to YouTube and put a search on, it'll come up real quick. And I don't know if it was at Joe Nall or one of those events a couple years ago, they had, I believe it was over 100 Park Zone Trojans in the air at once, all flying.
Wow.
And the watch a video is amazing because, you know, they're running into each other and then they're going to the batteries die, but they literally had over 100 of them in the air at the same time.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty, it's a pretty cool video.
I'll have to see that.
How do you track your own Trojan?
That's the thing. I think that's what a lot of the problem was, is, you know, they got them all up and got going, and then pretty soon, you know, people are running into each other, and then I think they're looking at the wrong plane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you just see him start to fall out of the sky little by little. But the video is fantastic. Yeah, if you ever get a chance, just look that up.
It probably worked better than some combat scenes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know, and that's a funny thing. The guys were out there trying not to hit
each other.
Yeah.
There's probably more combat effects
from that than
the actual combat.
Yeah, it was a great video. So. Well, Andre, I got to really thank you. It's kind of last minute. We got shorthanded, and I've been wanting to get you on anyway, but I thought it'd be great to get on, get your little opinion of the Sky Mule and the Sukhoi, and see what's going on up there, way up north there in Ottawa. And
I would enjoy that area. I love wildlife
so much.
I guarantee I would love that
I
area.
Keep telling them I got to get up there.
That's what I'm heavily doing now is bow season starts. Right. So I'm in a tree like every hour that I can get out there. My wife's a widow, so right now.
That's funny.
But
no, it was my pleasure, and yeah, I'll get some nice aerial video of this plane once I'm all set up to do the video, and then you can see some fall colors. Well, at least my area.
Hopefully there'll be a moose or something I could see. That'd be awesome.
It's a little. If you look at my, I'm more our flying area is more around.
I'm just teasing.
Farming stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we have a moose.
Great. It was
all,
great. It was great talking to you again.
Likewise, Mike. Yes. Thanks, Chris. So,
yeah, no problem, Andre. We'll definitely get you on again next time you get a new plane or whatever. We'll probably call you up and get another mini review out of you.
I'll shoot some more videos of these guys. Well, I haven't done it, and I've been bad for not shooting any videos about the Sukhoi, but it's one of those things where I just want to fly.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I got you. I understand.
We can appreciate that.
Yep. All right, man. Well, have a good evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thanks
a lot.
All right. Take care. All right, everyone. That was Andre Russo from Ottawa, Canada. What a great guy, man. He's we talked for a long time before Flight Fest, and then he finally made the trek down. And
I was glad to actually meet him in person.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He was a lot of fun. Well,
he had other interests as you as well, as with, like, what was it, racing?
He raced vintage cars, and he's got some good videos online. It was kind of crazy. Right before he came down, he crashed. It was a pretty – he's got the GoPro video online crashed into the wall and kind of messed himself up pretty good. I mean, nothing major, but I guess he's still feeling the effects of it. But, so, yeah, I was watching a couple of his videos, and it looked like a lot of fun.
I'll have to get on there and see that.
So, well, I'm telling you what, Mike, I'm like you.
I'm exhausted.
I know.
My eyes are all bloodshot.
I could go for a giant cup of coffee right now. Hey, speaking of coffee, I wanted to throw this out real quick. Basically, just for some of the guys that were at Flight Fest and some of the listeners that are big into coffee, I got a neighbor of mine who actually, Mike, started roasting his own coffee. Mm. This guy's been traveling around the world. He's been all over. You know, he loves coffee, and that's his thing. So he's, you know, just for the heck of it, he started importing his own coffee. I mean, right from in the bags. I've seen the big bags of coffee.
So Eric Monroe has a challenge here.
No. Listen, this is kind of where I'm getting.
Okay.
Is you know, he started roasting it and giving it out to family and friends and everything, and I got a hold of some, and it was phenomenal. So who's the first person I called up was Eric Monroe.
Sure.
So I called up Eric and got him a bag of coffee, and he just absolutely loves it. So, of course, everybody that was at Flight Fest knows, if tried some of Eric's coffee and what he does and the technique and everything.
I still got to do that.
Yes.
I just recently started drinking coffee.
Oh, really?
Work, so I'm eager to try Eric
Monroe's. It is phenomenal. So I'm telling you right now, Mike, if you drink whatever, Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's or whoever.
Yeah.
If you get fresh coffee, like just freshly roasted, and you grind it up and you brew it, you will never, ever go back. Yeah, you will not go back.
Wow.
To normal coffee. And I'll get you a bag, Mike. Well, I'll grind it up for you.
Sounds great.
But if anybody's out there really enjoys coffee and wants to try some coffee, his name's Jeff. He roasts it up right after you order it, packages up. He'll ship it out to you anywhere you want. But, guys, just go check it out. It's called FedoraCoffeeWorks.com. He's got different blends on there. You can get on his website, check it all out. He has a PayPal account and everything.
How do you spell Fedora?
FedoraCoffeeWorks.com.
Okay.
CoffeeWorks.com. So if anybody's interested and likes coffee, go check it out. It's Eric Monroe endorsed. So I think you guys would really enjoy it.
Cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, we still, believe it or not, I know we've been yapping for a while, but we got a ton of stuff to get into. I'll tell you what, let me grab my phone. We can go through. I got some crash stories that still came in from a few guys. So let me get my email up here. And so, Mike, you haven't really been doing any flying or anything at all lately?
No, it's been solely bow hunting. If you know me at all, it's bow hunting is in my blood even more so than flying RC. Unfortunately. And with the fall winter weather and stuff, it's good to have that hobby as well. Cause,
yeah, right.
I mean, I'm not as confident in the wind gusts and stuff to be flying, and then the cold temperatures. At least I have bow hunting.
Right,
I can
resort to you know, and
another hobby.
That's kind of the bad thing here in Ohio. It's
yes.
Especially
you're
in the fall, man. It just really gets so windy around here, and you almost got to have your right airplane or whatever to get out there.
But summer and spring, I'm all about it then. But
right.
It will definitely be a slow period for me for RC.
Yeah. And I'm like you. We've just been so busy, and my son
work.
Ended up on, yeah, with work, and he ended up on two baseball teams. And
he was in the fall ball then,
fall baseball leagues.
That's like an all-day Sunday for
yeah, we've
of
been
them
doing
too.
Doubleheaders, you know, for the last month, and wow. We still got two more weeks to go. Doubleheaders every weekend, practice during the week. So I really haven't got out much. It's
they didn't. Kate didn't get into a fall ball this season. There was nothing available for his spring team,
right.
So no one coached, so gave
gotcha.
Us a break from that.
Oh,
for sure.
You're lucky. You're so lucky. All right.
Sorry to get off topic.
That's all right. Mike, let's. I got some crash stories here. Here's one. I remember this this guy, around, I think he was a kid. I actually met him at NEF when we were at the indoor event up in Akron, but he sent in one. His name is Andres. And he actually got David's mini vegan. Do you remember the little red mini vegan that David
yes,
made?
Yes, yes.
I thought they were going to make that, but I don't know what happened with that. Anyway, we were up there at NEF, and he flew it around everything, and David gave it to him. And I wish I would have met him at Flight Fest, but I don't remember seeing him there. But anyway, he had it there at Flight Fest. And he got everything going, and you know, you get excited and you get it out there, and he got flying. He said he wasn't even up in the air about 10 seconds when he lost control of it, nosed it into the ground for about 20 feet, and realized that he lost signal. And once he finally got it and checked it all out, and this has happened to me quite a few times, on the micro receiver, he looked and one of the antennas was kind of broke mm-hmm. off.
I've had that. Have
you had
on
that?
Receivers?
Yeah.
Too. Yes.
That seems to be a common thing.
I think it was on my orange one that antenna actually came off. Someone else noticed it. And
uh-huh.
I was able to repair it then. But
right.
It definitely was.
And it don't
out.
Take much
oh,
for them
man.
Things to come
no.
loose, and then you're
done.
Know, yeah.
You're out of commission.
Right.
Then.
And but luckily he got it back. He said the damage was minimal. After a few dabs of foam safe CA, the plane was fine. He did a thorough inspection, everything was good, and he got it back in
oh,
the
that's
air.
Great.
So, but I remember when we were first, I built the UFO and got it out, cranked it around, got all the lights on and everything, and that happened to me. I was up pretty high, and it was cranking along, and boom, lost it. I mean, just completely. And that thing's got a good glide, and that thing just took off gliding. and it was heading right for the road, and I'm freaking out, you know, and it did. It augered right, and luckily it went down, augered into the road, and the battery came unplugged. And that's what same thing happened to that. The little antenna, you know, came loose.
Sure.
And all right, let's see what else we got here. Let's see. Alistair Price. Oh, here's a good one. Alistair Price, he's got a good one. And I got a story that goes along with this, too. He says, about a year ago, knowing nothing about RC flight, I came across David's tricopter build video and thought it looked cool, so I decided to have a go at building one. Took me about 3 months to work out the electronics that I needed and how it all worked and went together. But I finally put it together and, being very proud of it, had the props on so I could show it off to people. Anyhow, once I finished building it in my room, I put it down on the carpet and decided I would turn it on for the first time and start toying with the settings on the KK2 board.
Oh, my.
At this stage, I still had no idea how to fly the thing. Nor had I had any idea what safety issues I should be looking for. Example, the props were still on the motors. As I was tweaking the board, I came to the arming options, and since I had no idea what I was doing, I selected always armed. Well, guess what happened? I thought nothing more of it. That night after dinner, I returned to my gleaming new tricopter to do some further tweaking. So I plugged in the battery, and then boom. My Turnagy 9X transmitter, I turned on my Turnagy 9X transmitter, and when it turned on, it went full throttle momentarily before being ready for use. The tricopter immediately armed, the 11x4.7 props on with the DT750 motors and a 4-cell 3000 milliamp LiPo, hit the roof in under a second, and then fell back down on top of me. While I was trying to regain my senses, I heard the hissing noise, and when I looked over, saw half a prop sticking out of the dangling, smoking battery. I quickly ran the LiPo outside and buried it in the sand pit and returned to the devastation in my room. There are still three DT750 prop shaft size, perfectly shaped holes in the roof to this day.
I'm so glad he didn't get hurt from what I'm hearing. Jeez.
Hope you enjoy my my story. He says, hope you enjoy indulging in my newness.
Oh my gosh.
Alistair Price, Melbourne,
that
Australia.
That is unbelievable. That is so scary. I thought it was going to end up tragic because it could have. I mean, that is serious what he just described there.
Yeah.
Full throttle in an enclosed room. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I'd be having heart attack city.
Right. And I've told this story a couple times, and you know, in case you're new to listening or anything, I'll tell it again kind of real quick. But when I got into flying and, you know, and I was getting discouraged with the weather and everything, I discovered that the helicopters. Well, again, being an idiot that I am and thinking that I know everything.
It sounds like a lot of people do this,
right.
Unfortunately, and it's amazing there isn't more.
Exactly. We were coming up to wintertime. You know, obviously from my flying experience, and I've flown in some helicopters and I know how they work and the mechanics and everything. Dummy me went down to the local hobby shop here at Aerotech and purchased a Blade CP Pro collective pitch helicopter. Never.
Collective pitch.
Yeah, collective pitch. Oh, I'm like, this can't be that hard.
A
you
lot
know?
Of people do
yes.
this. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you watch videos on YouTube and you're like, how hard can it really be? So I get it home, get it all together. Everything's good. I'm in my living room, Mike. Fired up.
I'm like nervous just hearing this.
I fire it up. I get it off the ground, you know, maybe a foot or two hovering in front of me. Everything's good. I'm like, oh, I got this. This is great. Now I'm going to go up about 5 or 6 feet, go around the living room. Like,
oh, gosh. I'm going to have a heart attack just listening to this story. Oh, my gosh.
That thing got up off the ground and I hit a little bit forward and that thing just took off. And I'm telling you, that thing ricocheted off of every wall in there. I had paint and plaster flying off the walls. I'm freaking out. The thing just augers itself into the floor.
My wife would kill me. Oh, my gosh.
I was a mess. I mean, a complete mess.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, and I'm sure I'm not.
I didn't know this happened.
Oh, yeah.
That is a great story. I'm so glad you shared that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not, I'm sure that I'm not.
Not
you know,
a proud moment for you.
Absolutely not. You know, it's the things, it's so funny the things you do when you're new, you know.
That is so dangerous. I mean, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Those props, motor speeds. That's one reason I don't get into alleys. There's a danger factor
right.
there with them suckers.
Right.
Man,
but I found, really I just found it fat. When that thing fired up in my living room and I'm hovering, a Blade CP Pro, I'm like, this is the best. You know, I'm going to be cranking around my... Little did I know I was a complete idiot for even doing that.
I was scared just using my MQX in the house. You know what I
right,
mean? I'm
yeah.
like, because I was getting misoriented, but that thing's not going to go through a wall.
No, that's
I mean, it's a little bit smaller.
Yeah,
smaller.
And back at that time, that was a full 3D helicopter, you know, and I'm firing it up in the living room. So
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
My
now.
Poor,
I know, oh
my
God,
poor
I love
son
the
at the time. It was ugly. It was so ugly.
Oh my gosh.
Was my story with the helicopter.
You can relate to that guy's story.
Oh, absolutely.
Then,
absolutely.
With the tricopter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought the tricopter was bad. I think yours might have topped that one.
Right. All right. I got another one here from Christopher Eastley. And he sent in a couple stories, and they're usually pretty good. Several days ago, I took out my 55% Spitfire out for a flight. I was doing high-speed passes, aerobatics, and everything was going fine. Then I had a mid-sized bird on my tail. I thought, oh, cool, this is going to be really good. Then everything went south pretty quick. The bird probably took it in its head that this noisy, non-flapping piece of flying foam was intruding its airspace. The bird suddenly started to try to destroy the tail of my airplane. After that, it was war. I pulled vertical and accelerated upward and away from the bird, but this bird was not to be shaken easily. The bird followed me through two loops, a split S, and a stall turn, and several snap rolls followed by a high-speed dive. By this time, I was wondering if my plane would survive this kind of punishment, but then another bird appeared, and I thought, oh man, I'm done for. So after a few more loops and a few more dives, I took the plane low and fast along my 600-foot-long driveway. The birds finally broke off, satisfied that I would not come back, and flew off, leaving my plane with a vertical stabilizer that oscillated back and forth as I came in for a landing. You know, that's funny how I've heard so many stories about birds attacking airplanes, and we've never had one, not even remotely close to have one, you know, attacking our planes. That's so funny.
We've had some getting in the area, but like you said, not attacking. You know, they would soar and different things with like my Sky Surfer and stuff. But
right, right.
Not actually attacking.
Yeah.
There must be some aggressive birds in other places.
You know, I don't know if we're just...
Or maybe
you know,
near nesting areas or something going on.
Right, right, right. The only other thing I was going to mention I thought was really funny, we talked about, and I think you might have been here, was a story, and this comes back from David West, about it was a father and son that they hit a fence post. Do you remember
yes,
us talking about?
Yes, and they both did it.
Yeah.
After the other, same
right.
exact spot and everything.
David wrote back, and I just want to throw this out of here. He said, I get a kick out of hearing your stories and about the Ohio stuff, and I live in Salinas, California now, but my wife and I are from Wadsworth, Ohio.
Oh, I know where that's at.
And a while back, I learned after trading a few emails, Alex Savada and my wife and I all graduated from Wadsworth High School and Akron U. We also determined I was in the same high school class as Alex's aunt and uncle. I got to find a way to meet you guys
that's
on my
awesome.
next trip back there.
That's local, isn't it?
I mean, that's
holy
just crazy
fuck.
That a guy sends in a crash story that live out in California, and next thing you know
they went to school.
Just sometimes it's just such a small world
unbelievable.
Out there. I know. Well, Mike, I think that's about it for. We'll save some crash stories for
Sounds
next
good.
Time, but we got some out there. Oh, hey, before there's a ton of new products out, and we're going to get into them, and we're going to talk a little bit about them and get your thoughts on them, but. And I know you haven't had a chance to get out there with us, but Bixler gave us the Great Plains Kunai. And I don't know if you've seen it sitting out here or anything, but mm-hmm. it's a 1.4 meter sport glider, kind of like a warm liner. It's got a real thin oil foil. It's got a, I'm trying to remember, I think it's got a carbon body or a fiberglass fuselage, and it's all built up balsa wing and tail. I've seen it in. You know, never really gave too much thought on it. I thought it was kind of cool, but, you know, and it's fairly cheap. It's like receiver ready. It's like $200. All you got to do is put your own battery and receiver in it. And So anyway, Wayne got it and was doing a little testing with it, and we went out for a couple days, and I got to fly it. Now, you probably, I know, you got your old style flip phone that's 20 years old. So, but anyway, we threw up a little video on Instagram, and I have to say, I was quite impressed with the Kunai. It was pretty fast. It does exactly what it's described, and even though it does say it's a warm liner, the thing was pretty quick.
Really,
I was really impressed with it. It retained its energy well. It was built well, I thought. You know, looking
did
at
you
the
dive
overall.
It at all?
Yes,
I mean, did it hold
yes.
up structurally?
It did, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the funny thing was, Bixler had it first, and they did a little review, and
I
they
think
did
I
a
saw
video.
It. Yeah,
okay.
I saw
now,
it.
I don't know if you mentioned, they kind of mentioned there they thought they seen the wings flexing a little bit mm-hmm. in the video. Now, I'm
yes,
telling you
I
what, if you
that.
Get a chance, get on Instagram, watch my video. I put that thing in dive after dive after dive. I mean, high-speed dives.
You put it through its paces, then.
And we never, ever had any problems, and I really didn't see any kind of flex in it or anything
okay.
like that. And here's the thing I like about this airplane was not only did it fly good, it slowed down good, it did everything that was expected of it. With this type of airplane, especially, again, like we were talking in Ohio and with the winds and everything, it flew amazing in the wind.
Cut
it's got
it
a
through,
re-
like
yes,
a knife, then,
exactly. It's got a nice thin airfoil, Mike. This thing just, I mean, it cut through the wind. We were flying, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 mile an hour wind. You wouldn't even know.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's
real nice. So
for this
it's
environment.
A, yeah, and it wasn't real big, too. I kind of was in between. I was mixed feelings at first about the size because I think it's only like a 55 inch wingspan. But it, you can keep it together. You can throw it in your car. It fits. It flies in the weather and the wind nice. So if anybody's out there looking for something like that, a sport glider, because usually something like this, they're pretty expensive. I mean, you might get into $300-$500, you know, something like this. But this thing being receiver ready for $200, good quality, I think it's a really good deal.
Cool.
And we'll definitely, you know, when things slow down and maybe you get a little time or something, we got to get you out there.
Sure.
And I'd like to get your input on it and, you know, it'd be something completely different, too.
Sure,
than
yeah, I've never flown a
exactly.
any type of sport glider. So.
Exactly. So anyway. Nice. I just wanted to throw that out there
cool.
a little bit, and all right. Well, hey, well, let's we'll move on here a little bit. We'll get into some new products. Hey, one thing I wanted to throw out too, real quick, while we're on the Great Plains and that category, you've seen our Beaver before, and you
correct.
Know we fly him a lot.
Well, and I saw that one. I can't remember his name. Now, Nick, was it?
Kevin.
Why do I keep calling him Nick? You know who I'm talking
yes,
about because
I
bust
know.
His name up
yeah.
every time I say
I know exactly who you're
yes,
talking about.
I know the Beaver. Just for that story alone, I love.
Right. Well, I have to give FlyZone a lot of credit. You know, the Beaver's a great airplane, flies great and everything. But what they did is they brought out a new edition of it. It's called the Island Edition. And they went with a full-scale replica paint job of one of the real Island Edition Beavers. And the thing looks amazing. But the cool thing was, too, even with the floats now, they painted the floats up silver.
Are they permanent floats? Or
No.
They're not?
It comes with regular landing gear
okay.
and floats. But the cool thing is not only did they get the paint scheme, like, really cool, but they you know, the original Beaver had just plain white floats. You know, they're mm-hmm. kind of generic looking. Well, for the Island Edition, they actually painted them silver. Like the real set of floats, and they put some more scale on it, like it's got the little black like skid pads on it and everything. And then the other thing they did for the landing gear is they put some, I believe they put the larger, more like Tundra tires on it. So now you're getting them kind of a more scale, more realistic airplane. Same price. They didn't change anything. It's still the same great plane, same motor, same everything.
So if I was looking to buy a Beaver, that might be a good one.
Exactly.
To try,
and you know, while you're in here, I've been meaning to ask you, you know, we have the Radians now together, the Ultra Micro Radians. I think in the spring we're going to end up with Sukhois together. How come you haven't had a Beaver yet?
I don't know.
Is it something you've ever looked at?
No.
Or no?
Not at all.
No?
And I saw you guys flying it, but I never tried it on the sticks. It's
uh-huh.
Is that one there? That the
yeah,
fly
that's
zone
it.
One? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's the Fly Zone Beaver.
I don't know. I just...
I was just curious because, you
I
know...
I'll have to look at this Islander one.
Okay.
I definitely will.
Yeah. Check it out.
I need a bigger pocketbook now.
Yeah.
That's a Sequoia.
I hear you.
That's going to be pretty costly. Plus, I'm taking interest in guns again.
Oh, jeez.
Too many hobbies.
I hear you.
I don't know. I think I personally I'd buy the Sequoia probably. That's going to be my next one.
Sure.
That probably.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I mean, you know,
too much versatility there with that.
You know, for in the winter and stuff, though, you know, getting out and that thing takes the wind real good and it loves the elements and everything. It's a great, great.
Your hands get cold.
Well, you get the transmitter mitts,
see,
Mike.
Another cost that I have to.
Oh, they're like $10, I think, Mike.
Well,
$10.
I'm pretty cheap. So, well, yeah. I like to call myself frugal, you know. My wife says it's cheap.
Yeah,
they tease me pretty bad because they're like, when my wallet opens, cobwebs and stuff.
I don't know about that. I've seen some of your purchases.
Oh yeah.
So, well, I'll tell you what. We're if I can get this thing to work here, which I can't.
Are you going to try to show me the?
I could show you that, but what I was going to try to do is get into Hobby King here, and I can't get into there. Tell you what, Mike, grab my iPad there if you want to hop into Hobby King and go to the new items now. I'll start talking about it. I'll see if I can get all this right thing to work here real quick.
New items?
Yeah. Actually, oh, that's a Sky Mule. One thing I wanted to talk, I just watched some of the videos last couple days and was checking it out. I'm really kind of interested in this, and Mike, and you might like this. Is Durafly just come out with what they call the EFX Racer. Have you seen these at all?
Mm-mm.
And I'll tell you what, you know, I kind of went through a phase, and we all do, and we've all talked about, you know, for a while I was really into sailplanes and DLGs, and, you know, first started off with Warbirds, and then I got into the super fast stuff. I wanted everything that did 100 mile an hour and this and that. Yeah, go ahead and click on one.
Is that it?
Yeah. Now, the cool thing about this is it's kind of hard really to find a good flying airplane that comes out of the box that'll really do over 100 miles an hour. And I think Durafly's got something, they kind of got a hit on their hands. Now, real quick, I just, the wingspan on it's 43 inches. It's 3.2 inches in length. Weight is about 25.3 ounces, which it's pretty light. It's got a 2836 2300 kV brushless motor. Now the cool thing about it, and I got to give Durafly a few props on this, no pun intended here, but they have it set up to where you can actually run a 3-cell or a 4-cell in it. So, you know, it's up to you. If really one day you wanted to go out and just cruise around with it, you could, and you can change the props. Like if you're running the 3-cell, it comes with a 6x5 prop. If you want to run the 4-cell and really get some speed going and really, you know, go to town, you put the 5x5 on it and run a 4-cell 1800 milliamp battery in it. And the cool thing is this thing, I mean, literally out of the box will do over 100 miles an hour.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And the looks of it and everything are really cool. And if you get a chance, Mike, you go check out the video, some of the videos of that thing.
I don't know. Every time I think of fast plane, I think of that one that I think Josh flew into Chad's house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's probably how my results would end up with something that fast. Right. So I definitely would be intimidated. But you said you can tone it down with
yeah,
the
yeah, you know, if you
stuff.
Wanted to start out first, put it on the 3-cell, you know, put a 2200 3-cell in it and
get a good feel for
right,
it.
Right, and looking at the videos and everything, the thing tracks phenomenal. It looks phenomenal. I know with the 4-cell, it's got unlimited vertical.
I bet.
But it just looks like a fun airplane just to really just get out and crank around. You know what I mean? And with the aerodynamics and everything, this is something, too, I think you could take it out and fly it in some wind. It's not going to bother
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So, hey, the other thing, while we're on the Hobby King subject, and I don't know, Mike, if you've seen any of these, is they've come out with a new Turnigy. It's called a Bolt, and it's a high-voltage battery. Have you seen these yet?
No.
They just come out, and I'm debating whether this is going to be something for the norm here in the future. I don't know.
Is it new technology?
Yeah. What it is now, you know, on a normal LiPo, it's 420 per cell on a normal LiPo battery. Mm-hmm. Well, what they've done now is they've bumped it up to 4.35 volts a cell. So you're getting more out of the battery. But the problem right now is you got to have a special charger, and Turnigy obviously makes one to actually charge them. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple cool things is you're getting a little more. The batteries really aren't that much more expensive. So if this turns out to be something to where it's the norm, we could see this down the road. This is what we just might be getting. I don't know. But right now, I think it's a pretty cool idea. So check those out. Again, the only bad thing I see with that is you got to have the special charger to get that, right? They finally released, and I think you've seen this, and the guys are doing some cool mods, and Hobby King's got some videos of it, is they finally got the Durafly Ugly Stick out. And do you remember this? It had the big fake nitro motor on the front of it, but it's actually electric powered. Have you seen that? I'm sure you've seen that.
I might have. I'm trying.
You can pull that up and look at that.
Is that under new items too? Or
you can just type in their ugly stick there, and it should come up. But, you know, the ugly stick is a balsa airplane that's been around for years. You know, it's nothing too fancy. It was a really good flying airplane. But what Durafly did is they redid it, made it out of foam, but still put a big, you know, fake nitro motor on the front of it. And some of the guys are going into detail. They're putting the linkage on it for the throttle, and they're putting fake fuel tubing on it, and it looks pretty cool. So that's out. The other thing they got coming out, man, there's a bunch of them.
Do you see that here? Or is it not there?
Yeah, right there, I think it is. I'll let you look at that real quick.
Oh, that has the... What is that? Design on the wing?
Yeah, it's got the...
I don't know what that's called now. Like the Red Baron?
Yeah, exactly. Just, now, see that motor on the front of that, Mike, it's fake.
Oh, okay. It's just
a plastic fake motor on there, and they run a shaft that runs all the way through it. Isn't that cool looking?
I do like that.
Yeah.
What's that one run, I wonder? Is that for sale? Is it a couple?
Oh, yeah, it's out now. $130. So the other thing you can pull up and check out, too, is they've come out with a ton of new EPP 3D profile foamies, and they're really cool looking, and I'd be really curious to see how they fly. They're all running around 1,200 millimeter wingspan. They run a 950 kV. Well, I take that back. You got to get your own motor. They like to have a 450 or 500 watt around a 950 kV motor. You can run them on 3 or 4 cell, 2200, 40 to 60 amp ESC, Metal Gear high torque servos, and they roughly weigh, when they're ready to go, somewhere around 1,220 grams. But they got a ton of them out, and they brought out all the ones you normally see. They got the Extra 300, the Katana, the MX2, the Edge 540, the Yak. So there's a bunch of them out there, and I'd be really curious to see how they fly, and they're fairly cheap. So anybody looking for some good, cheap EPP profile foamies, check those out. I think they're pretty cool. Now, here's something I'm kind of excited about, and they've been talking about it for quite a while, is they're bringing out the C-47 twin engine, which is like a DC-3. And I haven't really seen a lot of specs on it. They've been showing it a little bit here and there. The cool thing is I think they're bringing it out in two trim schemes, a military and a civilian scheme, which I've seen on some of their videos.
Is the DC-3 a cargo type?
Yeah, well, it was cargo or passenger. It was an old, you know, that they used back in...
It sounds familiar. I just can't picture it.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Yeah, and there isn't a lot of them out there for RC. And the few I've seen weren't real good detailed, and they're, you know. But this one looks pretty good.
Who makes it again?
It's going to be Durafly.
Okay.
So it should be good quality.
They make good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
and just from, like I said, the little bit they've been teasing, you know, on the videos... it looks pretty cool. Hey, I'll tell you something you can look up too, and it might be on the new items page, is, and I don't know if you might not have been there, Mike. The one morning we got there early at flight test, and I can't remember if it was the first morning when you were there early or if it was the next one when you slept into about noon.
At flight test?
Yeah. There was a guy flying an EPP profile, like Eagle.
Yes, I saw it.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I saw that.
So you remember seeing that? And
he flew it both mornings, I think, or
okay.
A couple mornings.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
And that thing was really cool. He'd actually get up there and shut the motor around. I mean, looking at that thing.
When I was pulling into the event and I saw that, I honestly thought it was a bird soaring up over there. That Eagle type thing.
So... Hobby Kings brought out their own EPP Eagle profile. And I'm telling you what, once you see this thing, it looks amazing. If you just, I think, scroll down through there, Mike, you should find it there. Is that the new? Yeah. The paint,
it looked like a bird.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. The paint job on it, and you know, it's got the wing tips, and I'm trying to find it here real quick for you. Scroll down through there. It should be there towards the bottom.
All right.
But it looks amazing. It's a 1430 millimeter wingspan, 760 millimeter length. Runs on a 3-cell 2200. The cool thing is it's really light. It's 550 grams. I think you got to put your own ESC in there. It's like, there it is. Yeah. Look at that, Mike. That thing.
I'd want to see that in the air. Boy, it almost looks like a red tail hawk.
Almost.
Color scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, it's super light. It's only like 550 grams. So you literally could get that up and get it up high and shut the motor off. And that thing will probably glide around.
I bet that would bring birds in, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. But I was just amazed at the detail on it. Oh, I mean, it really,
yeah,
it really looks good.
I think that's key, the underside, because you're always looking up at it. So.
And look at the price.
I saw that already.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is an awesome price
I'll
for
tell
that
you, it was, yeah, 78, what was it, 7823 on here.
Yeah. So, guys, if you're looking for anything, you know, something like that, that's...
I like wildlife, so that would tune in.
Yeah,
me,
I love the looks of that thing. Let's see, one last thing, a couple things here. You know, the thing with Hobby King, too, is, like, I probably look at their new items page, I don't know, once, twice a week, is there is so much stuff they put out. You know,
product
I just,
line is
oh,
just unbelievable.
It's just unbelievable. So I just kind of go through and pick out some things that spark my interest or whatever. But, you know, if you're looking for, there's all kinds of stuff, whether it be servos or chargers or but whatever. There's all kinds of stuff. So I don't want you to think I'm skipping a bunch of stuff. I just kind of pick out some things.
No,
that,
I understand
you know,
completely.
Or we'd be here till midnight talking about
this. Their product line is endless.
Right.
It is.
Right. One other thing I wanted to mention too, and I haven't got a lot of stuff on it or seen a lot of stuff on it, but I'm very intrigued in it. And I know Andre Russo is really intrigued about it too. And again, in my heart, I'm a big Warbird fan. They're bringing out the 4-engine Lancaster. And again, I think this is going to be a Durafly airplane. So I'm trying to think now. I don't even think I have anything anymore that's a twin engine. And I want to get another twin. Well, I take that back. I got the FT Cruiser's a twin. I do have that.
I have that one, too, and I only flew it twice.
And that's
a
great flying airplane. But I don't have anything military.
I messed up with my color scheme on that one.
Oh, you did?
I made it dark blue and black.
Oh.
And you...
in the air, you can't tell.
And Josh is like, it looks great on the ground, but this is going to be wicked hard enough. And boy, was he right.
Yeah.
And that's why I haven't flown it very
much.
Exactly. That color scheme did not work.
So Durafly is bringing out the 4-engine Lancaster and military airplane. The thing looks amazing. Again, typical Durafly. It looks like it's got great detail. Got the 4 engines on it. Looks really cool. So, again, I they've just been kind of showing glances of it, and they got a couple videos on their channel.
Okay.
And they got a couple paired together flying in for.
Oh,
man,
that's
that thing looks good, Mike. Awesome. Looks good. So
I bet that would be fairly pricey, though, with 4 engines.
You'd be surprised. I bet it's not. If anything, it'd be just over 200, like maybe 210, 220.
Really?
That's what I'm guessing.
I was thinking like 500. So
No.
Way off the mark.
Yeah, no. I don't think
I'm thinking maybe large. I don't know what I'm thinking.
No, I think it's going to be in the normal Durafly range, you know, in that 40-some inch. Well, this one might be in the 50, you know, low 50s, but nothing that, you
nothing
know.
Nothing larger.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
larger.
For some reason, when you said 4-engine, I just automatically
thought
large.
Exactly. And normally, you don't, you know, if you have something with 4-engine, it generally is really big. But this thing looks pretty good. And the one thing I did want to mention to you, too, and I know a lot of people are using it now, especially in, everybody's kind of going to these 250 quads, is that a lot of people are using the Mobius for the camera now. Well, HK has brought out the Mobius brushless gimbal.
Okay.
So now you can stick your Mobius on there and have a complete brushless gimbal for
wow.
it.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I'll have to check that out for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, because did you get yours or you got it going or what's the deal?
It's exactly where it was the last time.
It sounds like me.
Unfortunately, I got everything hooked up and I really need Chad's input, unfortunately, to get it running. I'm not familiar with the programming of the NASA. I have it. I don't know. I just want to have him go over some last minute details on it. I was debating doing it my own, but I'm just like, I better wait. So. And I still got to put the camera rig on the bottom of it too.
You'll get it. You got lots of time. We got winter coming.
And you know what? I think the reason I'm kind of going slow with it is because I'm still licking my wounds on the.
yeah.
I really don't feel like I'm as eager as I was with the first one I lost. So.
That's I'm kind of dragging
my
swallow.
Feet. I'm kind of dragging my feet with it.
Right.
And even the guys at work, they want me to check out this hornet's nest with it. Like, aren't you done with this yet? They're begging me to get done with it. They want me to get a video of the hornet's nest that's at our work. And the one guy's like, he'll probably never fly one at work again after that. At least in that GoPro and everything. So.
Oh, you'll get it. It takes a little time.
He's like, when do they hibernate? Because they're going to be going in their nest for the winter or whatever. You're not going to get video. So I don't know if I really want to tamper with hornets anyways, to be honest.
That could be pretty ugly.
Might have good footage, but I don't know. I don't want to be getting attacked by these things either.
Well, I think that's about it for Hobby King. Let's move on to Horizon Hobby. I'll let you check out some stuff. Give me your thoughts on it. Now, you know, it's crazy, too. It seems like, you know, we have so many more manufacturers out there now, and in the last few years, they put out a lot of stuff throughout the year, whether it be 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, 8, 9 airplanes. You know, back in the day, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, Horizon, it seemed like you'd be lucky if they put out 2 or 3 airplanes a year, you know, in the park flyer portion or whatever, or maybe they put out a couple helis a year or whatever. But now, you know, it's really made these other manufacturers have made the big ones like Horizon step it up, and they've just been pumping out, you know, product after product after product, and they're having the iHobby show going on, so they released a bunch of stuff too. So just here last Thursday, they got a ton of stuff that came out, plus stuff that's just been released. So I want to get your thoughts on a couple things here. The one thing you might be intrigued in, and I don't know, have you ever flown their Vapor? And I'm sure
a lot of people have, and they love it. And,
right.
And I honestly, I'd never had one or flew one, but I know a lot of people had good stories with them.
Right. And you know you can fly that indoors. In your house.
Yes. Yeah. Safely.
Right. Yeah. Cause
fairly safely.
And I have one. I have actually both of them. I have the regular Vapor and I have the Mini Vapor, which is now discontinued. And a lot of times in the dead of winter, I'm flying around, you know, indoors. But here's the crazy thing, Mike, that you're going to see. Now, wait a minute. They have brought out the Vapor FPV.
Oh,
so
okay.
Now you're looking at the
now.
Vapor
that makes
with a
sense.
Camera and everything on it, and you already have goggles, Mike. So you could buy this.
I didn't lose those.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So think about this, Mike. You can sit on your couch now and fly your Vapor around your house, inside your house, FPV. Now, what do you think of that?
Oh, my wife would kill me.
That's pretty cool, though. Yeah. You have to admit. Now, the only thing I kind of see bad against it.
What's the range on those? Just out of curiosity. Because they are so small. I mean,
you know, I did read about that. One of the Horizon guys was on the forum because that was one of the first questions about the range. And
especially with FPV now.
Right. It is restricted. You're not, you know, it's not like you're going to take that thing outside.
Oh, look at the little ants.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Got the little clover leaf antenna on there and everything. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what the range was. I mean, you could easily go around and fly around your yard and everything,
okay.
No problem. But,
okay.
Like, if you wanted to go out to Jackson and fly from probably one end of the field all the way, I don't think you're going
to
get that range.
But your eyes, even to keep orientation on something that small,
exactly.
It's probably for the size. It's
exactly.
The range.
Exactly.
I assume,
exactly.
Set for that.
Right. I got mixed emotions about. I love the idea. I was really kind of shocked that that's kind of the first plane they put that on. But I'm finding out here lately that that camera system and everything you can buy separate, and you can actually install that on some of their other micro stuff.
Okay.
Like they have the Micro Sport Cub they got out now. That'll work on that and some other stuff.
I wonder if that would work on the UMX. Just out of curiosity.
Which one?
UMX Radian. I mean.
I'd
probably go out of range too far with that. Maybe.
Yeah, I think with that, you would get out of range pretty quickly with that.
Because I'm thinking it's more like a glider. You know, it'd still be pretty cool. And then with the stabilization it has.
My big question, though, was if the Ultramicro Radian would be able to carry that or not. I mean,
okay.
it might, but you probably...
Because it's really light.
Yeah.
Yes, I see.
Yeah. So now I got, again, I got some mixed emotions with this. They do have a ready to fly, and they have here what they call the bind and fly. So you have to have your own video goggles and everything to fly it. And it's the bind and fly is what, $189, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, BNF.
Now, part of me thinks that's kind of pricey.
But I didn't realize when that was.
Yeah.
I thought that was strictly the Vapor.
No.
So I understand. Once I read it.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right. It is a cool concept, and that could really change a lot of things for the indoor flying, this winter. I could see a lot of people. I think it'd be fun if you had three or four of these and you're in a good sized place to fly and you're all under the goggles and you're following each other around.
Yeah.
And, that could be a lot of fun. And I got to give props.
These take hits real well, don't
they?
They
do.
So if you hit a wall or something,
yeah.
Out of commission.
Right. They don't fly that fast. Somebody learning FPV would be great, again, because they're so slow and docile. In that nature. So I got to give some props up to Horizon for trying something like
that. Sure.
And here's the thing, I kind of feel bad for him because obviously this stuff's been in development for quite a while, and I'm sure they've known about this and everything and probably had a big release date. And then what happens? Boom, the FAA does all this stuff with the FPV stuff, and we got all this controversy going on. Here's poor Horizon, wanting to bring out all these new FPV products. So kind of felt a little bad for him. Let's see. I'll tell you what, while we're kind of on the Ultra Micro stuff, they have a couple new ones coming out. One was the Ultra Micro Spacewalker. Have you seen that?
No.
This thing's pretty cool. And again, I think it's going to be a good indoor plane. The only thing that kind of concerns me a little bit, it is cheap.
It's a space walker. It's a plane.
it's an ultra micro plane.
Walker and flying just doesn't seem.
Just put it in there.
Pull it up so you can see what it looks like.
I was a little disappointed that it doesn't have the AS3X. It's something, you're going to fly indoors or definitely something on a completely calm day outside. I still fly my Champ outside a lot and around, and it doesn't take much wind.
Spacewalker too, it looks like.
So I was a little bummed about that, with no AS3X.
Sure.
But I still think it's going to be fun. The price is didn't pull up, did it? Try putting it together and typing it in. But the price is right. It's pretty cool looking. Some of the videos that Seth Arnold put up on YouTube, it looks like it'd be great for cranking around the yard. So we'll let you check that out. But while you're trying to get that up, I'll talk a little bit too. They just released, Mike, they have the Ultra Micro Habu. Now, do you remember the regular Habu? I think you were in here looking at it in the box or something,
yes.
The yellow one,
yes.
And
yes.
You were a little intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they brought out a new version, new paint scheme, which is really good. It's red and white, but they added the safe technology to it, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So now you can crank that thing around. And, that's kind of one of my only little gripes with the Ultra Micros. I love them. I love to fly them. But when you do auger them in the ground, with the EPS foam, they have a tendency to disintegrate.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And especially with the Habu, and that thing can fly pretty quick. That they added the safe technology and you got the oh crap button, and it has the same features. It's got the beginner, intermediate, and expert
mode.
What
is the oh crap button? I probably should get away from that term.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's
I think it's called panic mode.
Panic mode. Okay.
Yeah, that's
that'd probably be more.
Right.
Not that I don't enjoy saying oh crap, but.
Right.
Panic mode. Okay.
And then speaking of Habu, the Habu's been around for a couple years. They've had several versions of it. Park Zone's had it. Did you find that?
I think it's
this. Yeah, that's it right there. The Spacewalker.
Sorry to go back.
That's all right. It's kind of cool looking. You can kind of get the gist of.
For some reason, I was thinking like AT Walker.
Oh, I see.
Like in Star Wars coming out here.
I don't know. Yeah.
AT Walker.
And I don't know. You probably don't remember this, man. But you made me think of this probably 6-7 years ago. Hobby Zone had, and it was kind of like a spacewalker. They had a guy, it was a styrofoam guy, like a space guy, that had a prop on his head. Did you ever see that thing?
No,
I had one.
Hilarious.
That was one of the first things I used to fly in the house.
No way.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
And it
gosh.
Was made by Hobby Zone. They were like $40. And the guy, he just cruise around.
I would love to have seen that.
Yeah, he would just cruise around.
Oh my gosh.
It was kind of funny.
Now, is there anything like that sold now? That would be hilarious.
I don't know.
Maybe I only get a kick out of that, but that sounds hilarious.
You know, it was a lot of fun. It really was.
I mean, it sounds like a go-go gadget type thing. You know, who doesn't want to have a helicopter prop under it to go up in the air like that?
And that's exactly what it was. A little styrofoam guy, you know. I don't even know if he was really painted up. Had a big prop on his head. And, you know, it would go up, down, left, right, forward, and reverse.
That's amazing. Yeah. He had that kind of control with
a foam guy. It was the stupidest thing, but I had a lot of fun with it.
Funny. Makes for a funny story.
So, really, the Ultra Micro Habu S, nothing's changed. Same motor, same everything. The only thing they really did, they changed the paint scheme. The paint scheme's red and white. It looks really good. And they added the safe technology to it. So, but being on the Habu we were talking about, E-Flight's brought out a new version, kind of more like a high-performance Habu. It's the new 32DF, and I was watching some videos on that the other day, and I'm telling you what, that thing looks pretty cool. If you want to just type in Habu 32 on there, if you want to pull that up, check that out. Now, this thing's pretty expensive. I think it's we'll get the price here in just a minute, but they upped the motor. They redid the complete dynamics on it. It's got all new wings, new tail, new intake, and it really looks like a great sport jet. You know, maybe for somebody who's looking to get into something a little faster. Did you find it yet?
Yeah, I think so. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, that's the Ultra Micro. There it is right there. And I'll give you some specs on here as soon as this iPad loads up here. Come on, baby.
I think the one I saw in here was actually wrecked. I forget. I remember opening it. I'm like, oh.
Oh, I think, yeah.
The whole nose was off. Something pretty tragic happened.
There it goes. It's loading up now. Now, this thing's pretty cool, Mike. You know, you can put the retracts in there.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful looking airplane.
Micro?
No. Oh. This is the big one.
Okay.
Here, I'll tell you the key features. It's got new streamlined swept back platform design, new trim scheme, high gloss paint, genuine Hangar 9 ultra coat covering, molded fiberglass fuselage and vertical stabilizer, full balsa sheeting wing, horizontal stabilizers, two-piece plug-in wing and stabilizers with carbon blade and support. Pre-hinged elevators, ailerons, and functional flaps. Hyper-efficient inlet and exhaust. It's an all-new duct design. It's ready for the new E-Flight Delta V32 EDF power system, which it sold separately. Accepts the E-Flight 15 to 25 electric retracts. It's optimized for use with modern Spectrum micro-servo technology. Includes main wheel landing gear doors that improve the streamlining, quick release battery hatch, features a tinted canopy and cockpit decal, complete precision hardware package included, and machined aluminum wheels. Now, what you do have to buy your everything for it. You need your 6-channel 4-range receiver, the 80mm EDF system, 32 class brushless EDF motor. It needs an 80 amp 22.2 volt brushless ESC. Now, here's the thing. This thing takes a 6S 5000 22.2 volt high power LiPo battery. So you know this thing's going to get up and move.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But
that's
check
a powerhouse
out,
there, buddy.
Check out some of the pictures though. It really is. It is beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that color too.
It is. It's a nice looking airplane. Now, what's the price on it, real quick, while you're looking?
$389.99.
Yeah, it's $389 just for the kit.
I know, because you're gonna have a lot in the.
You're
ESCs,
probably gonna have seven,
oh, man.
Eight, $900.
When you were rattling it off, I'm just like ching ching
yeah.
ching ching ching.
And that's the thing. I would love to own something like that, but to pour that kind of money into that, and if I crash it, I would literally cry.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So, but it's
not something in my near future, unfortunately. But I can appreciate it. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Now, another new thing that just come out, and you can pull this up if you want. E-Flight just come out. It's called the Viking 280 Bind and Fly. Now, it's a new trim scheme replicated off of a regular Viking, a precision aerobatic airplane. Looks really cool. I love the trim scheme. Now, it kind of reminds me looking at it, and I don't know for a fact, and I don't have a lot of information on it yet. I read through that a little bit. It really looks exactly like the Ultra Micro Beast, which I know you've seen, and I don't know if you've ever flown one or not.
No.
But it looks just like it. It looks like it has kind of the same motor, same servos and everything on it, but with a new paint scheme in that Viking scheme. Looks great, though. Mm. So you can check that out.
It was Viking 280?
Yeah. Yep. Huh. It's a green.
That's what I typed. I didn't.
Green airplane, I think. All right. Now, here's something I'm really, really excited about. E-Flight just brought out the new Ultra Micro B17, Mike. This thing is cool looking. Have you seen that? You got type. I know that one will come up. Type
right.
that
I don't know why they're looking. All right, what was it? The Micro B
Ultra Micro UMX B17. Now, wait till you see this. Got the four motors on it. It's got great detail. It's got the guns. You can pull the gear off if you want, and it's got these little snap-on retractable gear that you can snap on it and belly land it into the grass. Now, looking at the pictures of this thing, the detail was unbelievable for an Ultra Micro. Now, thing that amazed me was that I think that, and we'll double check, the wingspan is only like 26 inches, I think. Mm-hmm. See it there anywhere? I can't believe. Let me see if I can find it for you real quick. Now, I got on the forums, and of course it isn't out yet. But, you know, the buzz gets going on the forums, and, you know, was reading some of the things and everything. Now, here's the thing, and luckily Seth Arnold kind of came on and cleared things up, but a lot of people were really upset because it didn't have brushless motors on it. It still has, the small, like, 6 or 8 millimeter pager brushed motors on it. And Seth kind of came on, and he goes, well, here's the thing. When you put a heavier brushless motor, add the ESC, you pay for the cost of 4 brushless motors and ESCs. Then you got to consider in the weight that it's adding mm-hmm. on, that the plane isn't really going to be an ultra micro anymore, and it's not going to fly very good. So what they did is they're saving you the cost, you know, putting the brushed motors in it. They're saving you the weight and keeping it small. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to figure this plane, wait till you see it here. It's basically the size of my little ultra micro carbon cub. It's like 2 inches bigger, you know, and you're flying a 4-engine, you know, B-17 Warbird.
Cool. Yeah. That's,
you know what I mean?
Scale. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm eager to see this one.
I should be able to pull it up here real quick. And the looks and everything, why doesn't this thing come up?
So right? They didn't just strictly do that for, cost reason. It was for functionality as well.
Oh, absolutely.
To keep it light. So it
absolutely
makes complete sense when he
yep.
defended that then.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know why. I was just on their website looking at this thing, and now I can't find it. All right, we'll try this one more.
Now,
time.
I don't have any micros other than the Ultra Micro Radian. Can you do, like, inverted and stuff with micros?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Indoors and stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
You probably could do loops, I would assume, but I didn't know if it would do inverted.
Oh, sure.
Than inverted.
Look at that thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great detail, huh?
Yes.
Now, when you look at that plane, yes. Doesn't it look like it's huge?
Oh, yeah.
And just think, Mike, that thing's 26 inches.
I mean, look at that. Is
yeah.
awesome.
To yeah.
get that effect out of something that small.
And again,
cool.
You know, if you have 2 or 3 of them flying together, it looks just...
Oh, man.
Yeah, in formation, that would just look awesome.
I can appreciate that. That I
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
I can envision that, actually.
Right. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that. You would really like that.
Yes. That's one I like.
Right. So you'll have to check
oh,
that
man.
Out. Uh-oh. You're liking it, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I just love that look. I mean, I like them in general, so it
right.
definitely appeals to me to set you back. Just
yeah.
the warbird type thing.
Now, what I'm excited for, and, you know, maybe
even though it's not a warbird, it's a warplane.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just looking too much into this, but I'm wondering if they put this B-17 out in the Ultra Micro series and see what people thought about it and how it was going to sell. so that maybe down the road they're going to do a bigger version, either the Park's Own or an E-Flight version, where we're going to get a 40 or 50 inch B-17 with four motors,
yeah,
and, you know, retract, excuse me, and flaps and everything. That would be phenomenal.
Yes.
But even for them to do something like that in an ultra micro, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this out
there. No.
It's, to me, it's new.
Right. So a couple more things here. I know we've been...
They even have the little gunner turret features. And
yeah,
stuff,
and I think it's got like some pilots in there too somewhere. It's got some pictures. It looks really cool. And being only 20, you know, that size at 26 inches is just amazing. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Hey, do you have the Nano QX quadcopter? You don't, do you?
No.
No.
I have the Proto X.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
I actually have two of those. I
well,
enjoy
good.
Them
so you
much.
Know how the Proto X flies.
Oh,
and,
I love it.
Okay.
I fly it all the time.
Now, listen to this, and you try to pull that up and look at this. Blade just come out with the Pico QX now, and it's the same size as the...
it's
the Proto
funny
X?
You say Pico because I'm trying to buy a Beretta Pico.
Oh, really?
Gun, and they haven't sold it for the past 2 years, but they advertise it. It's in all the magazines.
Really?
I cannot get my hands on it to even look at this gun. It's a gun. I'm off topic, but it's funny when you said Pico.
Oh.
Like, that's the gun I've been trying to get for like 3 years. Or two,
oh, that's
three years
funny.
Now. This is the Pico QX, you said?
Yes, Blade Pico QX. Now... scroll around there and see if you can find. There's the regular Nano QX that we've talked about 100 times.
Well, Nano, so Pico is usually even smaller.
It is.
Hence the term. Like they have the Nano for Beretta, and then the Pico is
right.
The smaller 3D
and here's,
version.
Here's the thing, Mike. You know, you've seen the Nano QX and everything, and yes. Now that they have the Pico QX, it's the same size as the Proto X.
Oh, wow.
But
okay.
What they did is they kind of put their twist to it and their technology into it. It is a ready to fly, and it comes with a different controller, but it has the safe technology, and I'm assuming, I obviously haven't flown one yet, should fly the same as the Nano QX.
Okay.
But now it's even smaller.
Yeah. And that was key for the Proto X, because I fly that all around where I work and stuff, and probably drive people nuts, but it's a blast.
So that might be something, and here's the thing. I
definitely want to see that. Does it have LED? Because I know with my Proto X, what makes it kind of nice is it has real bright LEDs for orientation.
It does.
And
it's
that
got,
helps so much. When you're getting that small, you need something that stands out like that.
Right, exactly. It's got the LEDs all over. And you like this because I know you and I've flown some of your other quadcopters. It's got the flip feature on it.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have that too on that one. That's cool. That's definitely something the Proto X does.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And the thing is,
I took that to the lab. The guys are cracking.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, retail, it's only $50. So you probably find them in the hobby shops for $40.
Oh, wow.
So there it is.
Okay.
Check that out.
Oh, I wish they had a night picture of it.
There should be some pictures, I think, with the lights on.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
It really does light up.
Okay.
So I really can't wait to get my hands on that thing.
$50, that's going to be a
bucks,
quick purchase.
Yeah, and smaller
ready
than...
Ready to fly, you said?
Yeah,
oh,
ready
yeah.
to fly. Has a, and I think it has a double flip feature on it to where it'll do two flips. So to be able to crank that around the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's up your alley, isn't it?
Yeah, and then my price range, too.
Exactly.
So I love that.
Yeah, I think you're going to like that.
And now I wish I went and bought two Proto X's. I should have knew something like this would come out eventually.
Yeah.
But I love the Proto X so much.
I do too.
I actually learned most of my quad maneuvering with it.
Uh-huh.
So I beat the death the first one. I'm like, okay, that's my beater one. The
right.
one I beat up all the pieces. And then I have one I'm more pristine now.
Yep.
And now that I'm comfortable flying
exactly.
it, kept it in good shape.
Right. I don't know, like... Even with me, even, you know, I crank around the house. How many, have there been several times where you've crashed Proto X and the props fly off?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, and you can't find them?
Yes.
Well, Horizon was smart on theirs. They got the prop guards on
there.
So you can bang into
I
the
didn't
wall.
Even
yeah.
That.
So now you don't have that problem.
And I'll tell you, those black props are a lot harder
yes.
to find than, maybe it was the white. One of the colors I always cannot find. I think it's the black ones.
Right.
For some reason, they blend in.
Yep.
But. Yeah, they did fall off all the time.
Right. So I think you're going to like this.
Did you have a Proto X?
I do. I have one. Oh, yeah.
So you know the props
fell absolutely.
Off all the time.
That's one of my things I don't like. You
and
know.
They get nicks in. Like, this will protect it probably from getting nicks if you hit a wall, I assume.
Right. And the other problem I had with a Proto X, it seemed like I always get, like, one of my wife's hairs wrapped around the shafts or something and, you know.
Or something in the carpet or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. So I with this looking at...
I got to be honest, I don't like the looks of the guards.
Uh-huh.
But what I know it's going to save for aggravation,
yes,
I can deal with it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the same type of guards they have on the Nano QX.
Okay.
And, you know, at first I thought the same thing. The guards were kind of stupid, but after flying it and running into everything, and, you know, you
get
can
put
it up on
appreciation for the guards real quick.
Yes. They are really a lifesaver.
And with the lights, you might not notice them.
Probably not.
Much.
And if you get a chance, watch a video on it. The video is really, I mean, it's hard, you know, well, the Pro X is about the same size, but watching them, what they're flying in and around. And
oh, I've gotten pretty good. I mean, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I've done things I never dreamed I could with that Pro X.
Now, the only bad thing that again, I was on the forums reading a little bit, and it was one of the big gripes is why didn't they make a bind and fly where you just buy it and you combine it to the bigger radio? But the problem was, and I guess if they had to do the Spectrum protocol and put it in there, it would be way more expensive. So it's still, you know, you're getting a 2.4 gigahertz radio, and it's still going to be fun to fly.
Is this safe? With safe?
Yeah, it's got the safe technology.
What's that? I guess I'm not real. I mean, I saw what it did in planes, but I don't know what it would do.
Well, it's got the, like our Nano QX is like, you can take it upside down and throw it in the air and hit the throttle. It'll self-right.
Okay.
And it's very stable. Like if you bump it around or whatever, it'll self, you know, it's very, very stable. The safe technology on the quadcopter. Yes. Yeah. So
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Oh, definitely! I can't wait till they get them in. I'm gonna be right down by one. Guaranteed.
Oh, they're not
out yet.
Out. Oh,
not
okay.
Yet. No, a lot of this stuff.
About this, I haven't seen anyone flying it.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff we talked about isn't even out yet. Some of it's brand new. So
that's me processing late on everything. It's so much to absorb here for me. Yeah.
Oh, is that you or me?
No, that's you.
Oh, that's all right.
That's like I shut mine off.
I think the only other thing I want to mention real quick, I don't think it's out, but it's coming out very soon. Again, if for any of you guys into the 3D and like the Balsa stuff, eFlight came out with the a new slick 3D 480 aerobatic plane. Beautiful looking airplane. Again, it's all Balsa built. So if you're into that and like, you know, I love the way Balsa flies, you know, it is amazing. I just don't like to crash them, repair them.
That's what I could
deal
with, man.
Right.
That'd break my heart.
Right. Exactly. So, but other than that, Mike, I think that's about it. Man, we covered a lot of stuff, a lot of new products out there.
We talked way more than I thought we would.
I know,
today.
We did, which is good. We haven't got together for a long time.
I was eager to get together.
I know, and
it's
I'm
a long time.
Hoping next time, you know, we got a couple weeks off, and then we'll get back in and record another. We can get everybody together and, you know, get in here. But it was fun. I had a good time.
Thanks for inviting me.
Got to thank Andre for coming on and giving us his 2 cents and his. And
he's a wealth of information.
Oh,
too,
he's great.
So. That's
and
great.
The guy's always building something or doing something or testing something.
A lot of energy behind that guy, let me tell
you. Yes.
Yeah,
definitely. Great guy. So, all right, guys. Well, I think we've chatted long enough. We're going to get out of here and go. I haven't ate yet. Have you eaten?
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
I grabbed Taco Bell before I came.
Oh, Taco Bell. That sounds good. So we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back in a couple weeks. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.